Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Neil?
Hello? Yes, this is Neil from Sunny Key Largo.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yes.
Hold on.
Now, listen, I'm going to be interrupted because I have to drop off something momentarily.
You don't do when I tell you when you come off the phone, okay? Jennifer, are you on the phone?
I'm not saying I'm coming off. I'm saying I will just be unavailable for about 2 minutes. At a certain point, when I make my drop off,
Jennifer,
and then I'll be back.
Jennifer?
No. My name is Neil, not Jennifer.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Now let me ask you something, Jennifer. Whatever me and Neil just said, did you hear it?
Yes.
Okay,
that
that's fine.
Up off something, and it will take him
2 minutes.
Yeah,
but I'm telling him he knows the rules. He doesn't go until I allow him to go. Neil, this is Jennifer. Jennifer, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Hello, you laugh. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I am good. We got trapped.
Are we allowed to laugh on the show?
Well,
no.
No.
Hold on. Let me just say this quick, right? I just need to practice something. Jennifer, where you live? Again, whatever we're saying is going to be deleted. Nobody's hearing
this. All right,
this
but I can't prove.
Okay. All right, I'll prove it's going to be. No, hold on. I'm to you right now. It's going to be deleted. Neil Bettner.
I said it's not. You will be deleted.
No, listen. Neil Bettner is the most handsome, intelligent man I have ever met. Trust
me,
Jennifer.
Hey, Roger. I mean Neil.
Okay. Now, Neil, it's your turn. Your turn, Neil. Neil?
Go drop off the package.
Jack. Anyway, Jen. Somebody was saying the other day, Tampa is such... there's a lady who used to rent the house in Cherry Garden. She's Cuban. And she married a Jamaican, and she was at the house in Cherry Garden. I reconnected with her. And she apparently is living in Tampa.
Yeah.
So we correspond. And she said she has never seen a city so beautiful.
It is.
You know?
Really.
And she sent me some pictures. And she said it's just absolutely just one of the... She just loves it. I mean, just absolutely loves it. You know?
It really.
So I guess you guys really did make the best choice, you know? Neil, are you back?
I'm back, yes.
Okay, that was a quick stop.
I'm going to be gone again for 30 seconds, and then I'm just going to have my undivided attention.
Okay.
I imagine
what the song just said. Really, I didn't miss anything.
No.
No, Jennifer, tell him you're correct.
Remember the last muscle.
He's correct.
He is.
Let me tell you that joke, Neil. Jennifer said she wants this conversation deleted. So I said to her, I'm going to prove that this will be deleted. And I said that Neil Bettner is the most handsome, intelligent man I have ever met. So you're perfectly right, Neil. I was chatting shit.
I am back now, and I caught the last part of that.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Me not say anything, right?
I won't go back
anyway,
and forth.
All right.
Fun. Oh.
All right. No, a quick thing. Jennifer, in Tampa, how does the whole political thing look? Are people interested or they're not interested or what?
You know, I find, and we have discussed it among friends and, you know, people that we meet in various areas. And I just recognized it yesterday based on a comment someone made, and it is very true over the years when I've also, you know, campaigned for this Obama, and I noticed it, I recognize that it is true, is that you'll drive around here and you'll see the Trump signs, you'll see the Trump stickers on cars. They're not a lot, but you, of course it will stand out, but that's all you see. And the point I'm making is that everybody else are Democrats, and they don't put nothing out. They don't put you. So
it seems like it's an election that they'll go and they'll vote for Hillary, but there's no great enthusiasm.
No, they will, but they're not going to be the ones to put, you know, Hillary sign outside, and they don't know. They don't do that.
There may be a reason for that, you know. I have found that the real fanatics tend to follow Trump. Those who have a fanatical nature tend to follow Trump.
So the same characters as him. Those who have the same behavior characteristics like him will do that.
But what I've found is that the supporters of non-Trump supporters, there are a certain percentage of them that may be afraid of the fanaticism of the Trump supporters. And that's why they don't put out as many signs, and they're not as overt.
And that is it, too, because I probably would be in that category.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fall in that category.
You know, I have a business. It is not politically aligned, and it cannot be. So I have to be careful, even, you know, voicing my opinions here and there. If I really stand for something, I will voice it, because, you know, knowing me, I am like that. But I have to curb it, because you don't want to dissect and divide your plans.
Well, let me ask you this, Jennifer. A couple of years ago, would you have put up an Obama sign?
Oh, yes.
But you see,
the
approval comes back to the candidate.
That was when those.
Well, I guess the fanatics weren't as harsh.
I beg to differ. The reason why you could show your Obama sign at the time is that you didn't have a deviant running against Obama.
Exactly.
And you didn't have supporters who were mentally challenged supporting the person. So it's a totally different scenario. It has nothing to do with Obama nor Hillary. No.
Exactly.
It's the person they're running against.
Yeah. This is a different feel, vibe, because of what he's bringing to the table, which is, you know, all the isms you can think of. And this is not healthy. This is no, to me, where you have to be more protective and antennas high because of the threats that are out there. You don't know how somebody's feeling.
No. I muted you for 2 seconds. I just wanted to see if you were. But I heard everything you said. No, and this is why we were just talking about Kevin Neal, right?
Uh-huh.
And Kevin and Archie. And when you listen, I mean, these are should be well thinking people. They have a candidate that has lied from the beginning, but it doesn't matter. Because they so believe in whatever he's saying. And it's fueled by anger. It's fueled with an anti-immigration thing. So I guess you're right. You know, there's such hatred on the other side that people really don't want to declare who they are. They're just going to go on the day and vote for what they believe in. You know?
But you know, human beings are intrinsically selfish. Okay, so to some degree, some more than others, but to some degree, people are going to vote as they see how it directly impacts them. And the more selfish the nature of the person or the more self-consumed the person is the more they're going to try to align themselves with something that they see that benefits them and nobody else.
Right. Because, and that's how the world is now, because not the world is this way now, all over, you know. Friends, look at Jamaica. Look at what's happening. Those murders that are happening down in Montego Bay is not happening just because, you know, a man trouble another man wife or whatever. This is something that is happening based on just what Neil is talking about, the want of the selfishness. The selfishness.
But Jennifer,
Jennifer, let me ask you a question with respect to Montego Bay. Somebody has thrown out a theory that the clamping down of the lotto scheme has kind of fostered
of the what team?
The clamping down of the lotto
scams.
Teams.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But do you think that has any impact on the increased violence?
Oh, definitely. It is because of, listen, I know we're going off from this side of the thing.
Go on.
Listen, it's from January, you know, that the head of the investigation, whatever, what we're not CIA in Jamaica, FBI, what are we in Jamaica? The head is a young guy, you know, highly educated, right? Young Indian Jamaican boy.
Okay.
And he took, he allowed the CIA up here, well, he had to, have them come down there, and they have been doing some rotted flyover, helicopter, drone. The man them don't even know that them looking at him, them and watching them. Why? Because up here, they have been getting, a lot of the emails and information of thousands, millions of people here. This is why you're getting so much calls. Can I tell you that you need your IRS and all them crap calls that you get? I don't know if you get those kind of calls.
I get tons of them, tons of them.
Okay, or you get another one. Hi, you know. So what happened? They trust Jamaican people so much. And when you have a sounding, educated Jamaican person talking to them, it was very easy for them out of 1,000 calls. They get probably four who are lonely, who whatever, and type. You know, I've been always, you should hear this the whole show on this American Greed. We're on it. You need to Google that and watch that show. And you'll see the whole procedure of what is taking place. Right?
Right.
So they'll be like, I've always wanted to do this. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's a different accent now. So they believe. You know which millions of U.S. them get? You know how many people committing suicide because of the Jamaicans down there? The influx was in Montego Bay because apparently they started from somebody's office who had a legitimate company. And the person who used to, or the people, maybe one or two, who would do business and work and get a 9-to-5 job, started to sell the information of the credit cards or emails and whatever and start them business. It's years is going on, you know.
Right.
But what has happened now? A lot of Montegonians who you know, whether it's market people, whether it's an educated person, whether it's MP, I have no idea, but hey, start to set up their own call centers. And they got emails and telephone numbers. And remember, they can use Magic Jack, so it's not calling them, not costing them anything for them to call me or you, as a white American old person who is, and they know everything about you because they know that you're, 86 and your husband just died, so you got.
How them know those things? Oh, they must probably have somebody up here.
Yeah, exactly. Because
work in some office
have. Up here, when the old woman or man or whoever, whichever idiot, because they're very gullible, send down them how much thousands of US down to them and they wire it. right? They don't know where they're wiring it in. It's just money gram or whatever. So, and they wire it,
mm-hmm.
them get that money, and that's it.
Well, Jennifer, you know what I do when it's gotten them from all over the world, and they usually want money, Western Union, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets stranded somewhere, whatever the cause or the reason. You know what I do when I get those things? I respond, right? And they say they need $2,200. I tell them
mm-hmm.
I can only send $1,900 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
What name should I send it to? They give me a name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I don't send it. Then they recontact me. They went for the $1,900. They didn't get it. I said, okay, well, I'll send it tomorrow. I just keep stringing them out that way. If enough people do that, then the cost of generating the money is going to get prohibitively high when everybody's on to them. Because they're making
yeah.
100 trips to the Western Union and not getting anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just keep playing that.
Yeah. And you see, but you have to be collaborative with that, because what also is happening is they have people up here. You need to go and watch this show. I felt sick. They have people up here who they come now to Jennifer's house and say, hey, you see, like, oh, you know, send the money, go down there.
Well,
I'm going to say your daughter go heal. Hold on, you understand what that means to me?
How do they get their dress?
Because the people them give them out of 1,000 people, and they're all, hi, and they're convinced. Okay, no.
Oh.
No, you may not.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
If it's an African voice, no, or Indian voice, I just say, listen, a man, don't call me Rasyad. I'm going to get police on you. Because it's every day. Look, can I talk to Jennifer Gordon? I'm like, okay, you know, enough of them, because they're my business out there, and you're promoting or whatever it is. I use a host number. I don't know, but hey. Anybody can get anybody's stuff. You know?
I give them a Tallahassee.
And it's call centers all over. Do you know that these people in Jamaica, when they film them, you know, and them don't have water shortage, you know, they wash their cars, their big cars, with champagne. You should see them washing their cars. Do you understand how much money that is?
Mm-hmm.
So stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They are so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When I go so this trip, I took pictures driving, and I said, this is really bad, you know. Nobody aren't noticing the amount of unfinished mansions. You know why? Just like how them stupid is how them build this. Listen, man, may I get $10 million next week from this woman up in North Carolina. Oh, build a house, man, build a house. And when the house build and the people say, oh, it finished building, them say, then where the kitchen? Where the electrical? So half the money finished now, done, them get caught, and the house don't really finish. Because they thought building a house, oh, an architect come and them say, yeah, that's going to be, $4 million. Okay, here.
But Jennifer.
When them finish the $4 million, them say, but where is the, where the doors, where the fan, where the air condition?
But Jennifer, let me ask you a question. Just like how Colombia went through a serious drug situation for many, many years, and they have cleaned up their act by force or by coercion. But Colombia is now a completely different country to what it used to be in the Escobar days. You can go there, you can feel safe, whatever. What are the prospects for that situation being adapted in Jamaica?
Well, first of all, the police, them need to take out the ones who are partly involved with all of this scam. So them have to clean them out. A good policeman needs to just go to the bar and know that giving them and supplying them guns and just shoot him. Clean out that first. And then them go now. And them just like what all them do it in Colombia. Going on the drugs man ahead, who is the head, where is the head of the snake? Up here? Bam, you're out too, because these are the same people who are supplying all little youth them with some piece of drug that you don't even understand. There's no questions. Mm. There's no jail to go in. Which jail?
Right, you know, but here's the problem now. You improve the police situation, but you still have the problem of the governmental people and the people in power who are the same as the police.
Exactly. So, But who is in?
The bottom line is jobs.
Who's going to make this one call?
Mm-hmm.
No wholeness have to make this one call.
Okay, mm-hmm, but Tucson, you mentioned a point, jobs. Great point. But in order to have jobs, you must be able to develop an industry.
No, there's none. There is no industry for Jamaica.
So then why did you say jobs?
Because jobs are the answer, but how do you provide jobs is another kettle of fish. As long as you have China, there's nothing to really open up a manufacturing plant on any large scale. You'll always have the call center that will employ 100, 300 people, whatever. But it's not enough to put a dent.
You need some kind of industry in order to facilitate jobs. Some kind of industry, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is where we are.
And nobody wants to come to Jamaica to do anything. Nobody wants to come to Jamaica to do anything because the crime is too high, and they can go elsewhere.
Exactly.
They can just go elsewhere. I mean, electricity costs are high. Security costs are high. I mean, as I told you, in any other country, security costs are like 5% of your operation. In Jamaica, it's 30%.
Yeah.
30% goes up back into security. So what's the point?
Neil,
yes.
I don't think there's really any hope. I think it's going to be things will always turn around, but I think it's going to get worse so bad because Cuba opened up, right? You see what I mean? You think this is just the beginning? Remember, a hungry man is going to come and rob you. No matter what, no matter even if you weren't this before, a hungry man is going to, you know. We're talking about a friend earlier on who is a journalist. And years ago, about 30 years ago, talking to him, no, probably 25 really, and he said, what do you think about, you know, what do you think is going to happen with these children on the streets in Jamaica? I said, my take on this, you see, there are five now. Wait until they're 25, and they're going to bust your ass. That's what's going to happen. Because what they're seeing, these children, their mothers are what we would say our mothers' helpers in the house, right? That was their mothers from down. They're going to need them come up, and them there is a helper come today and stuff, right? But these children are witnessing our generation, our mother's generation, and even so, I see my friend look at me and ask me, how you treat your helper like that? I said, she's a help. She helps me to get ahead, and I'm helping her. She helps me to have the time in my day to do what I need to do. When my helper comes, she comes, do what you're doing and go home. And what? You know, you're going to do a class in nursing. Your class starts about, I need my, you know, help me with the fridge, help me with the stove, clean that for me. And she got her nursing degree. Okay? Generally, and when she cooks, she eat first. I said, no, Pamela, eat. I'm not ready to eat yet. Have your. Before she leaves, she goes in any shower she wants. She clean my bathrooms. And she bathe in any one of them. She know, what do you think she's going to do? You know? She's going to be treat her badly. And what they saw is that their mother, when them, oh, Johnny, Devon is outside. No, Miss Jane, I have to go. No, well, no, you have to go. No, after the windows don't finish wipe. That is little boy who wipe your window.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What do you think is going to happen? Exactly what is happening now. All right, you think them don't know you? Them know you more than you know them. You think them don't see you every day? You tell them, oh, get away. And yet is their mother cleaning your bathroom and you don't even know that? People don't understand, you know. We live on an island.
A small island.
Them don't disappear. So you're going to tell me that? They know half of these people more than you can imagine. All right? So that is what is coming. So all this lottery scamming, you think them business, Neil, you think any... You don't see the big picture of the two men at the gas station with them gun. You think them business that the camera catch them?
Right. They don't.
Come and catch them. Come catch them. Try catch them. Roger and I drive to Montegabe. We're flying to Montegabe and going to Negril. We don't even reach the second stop light.
Police.
Right? Hey, listen, this is my town, and hear me with my big self, but we won't go doctor's cave. Hell no, I'm not stopping in that town anymore. It's not nice. By the time we stop the second stoplight, I'm like, come on, light, say go. Because while we stop, a man get a bus head in front of us with a brick, another one running down another one boat. I said, get me out of this town. And him against the car with head bleeding. And we're like, okay, I hope no cops come here right now to try and control this, because we need this light to say go. Unreal.
Negril is not like that at all. You feel much
better.
No way.
Oh, it's a breath of fresh air. Whew. Times different. 10 times different. No way. You can get out and, you know, Janice can walk by herself and go and get her breakfast and come back where we stay. Nobody's going to trouble you. Everybody walks. Children pass you and say, good morning. You wouldn't believe it. Negril is 10. Different. You can walk the beach and just nobody there's the morning.
What happened to Ochi?
I haven't been there in a while. I don't really like Ochi. It never was my place to spend time. I spend time there when everybody used to hang out. So I don't know if Neil used to go.
But
I don't know. It has changed.
I never liked Montegabe. I never liked Montegabe.
I used to. It's not the same. I grew up there.
I hear that they've built some hell houses around Montegabe. Is that true?
Oh, my God. This is what I'm... Oh, my gosh. The mountains are full of unfinished mansions. There are more unfinished mansions than there are houses. Nobody's talking.
When you say unfinished, like they're not going to be finished, they're just there.
A lot of them are not going to be finished. Most of them aren't going to be.
Right.
There's no way. You know, but again, it's education. And I feel sorry for the kids that I'm dealing with in Trelawney. I can't help them. I have shoes right now in my living room, taking up my living room here to send down, you know, that Jelani's soccer team gift, and I have soccer shoes here. It's just sitting here like I'm moving out, going somewhere. I can't get it out to Jamaica. And the kids
So you wouldn't invest in Jamaica then?
Oh, I would invest in Trelawney. I would invest in the children, of course. I'm on a board with the Jamaica Youth Football Academy in Falmouth. My grandfather left this community center, and that's where they use, and, you know, just to even get, I go down there, and the mayor down there, Mushet, is dynamic, but, you know, you have the council, and you have them just fighting against each other, and so I'm not getting any
help. Would you buy $1 million home in Jamaica?
No way.